Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. I'm excited to be joined today by the quality control coach, offensive quality control coach at Kansas State, Drew Little. Drew, it's great to have you here on the podcast.
Yeah, it's great to be here, Keith. Thanks for having me on.
Drew, you've been at K-State for a while now, 5 years as a player and offensive lineman, now in your fifth year on the staff, and you now are the assistant director of recruiting and offensive quality control. So, you know, you were with a coaching legend, now with a very good head coach who certainly has done a great job at the FCS level. But talk to us a little bit about your experience here at K-State and what's led you to this point.
Yeah, no, I've been very fortunate to be here. I actually came to K-State as a walk-on in 2010. Earned a scholarship and fortunate enough when I was done playing to join the staff as a graduate assistant. Working under, I can't tell you how cool and how awesome it's been for my growth to work for Coach Snyder and to play for Coach Snyder. But then I also can't tell you how awesome it's been to work for Coach Kleiman. I work with Coach Messingham, Coach Riley, Coach Anderson, Coach Ray, and, you know, being able to still be around Coach Klein. It's a great bunch of guys, great football knowledge. I've learned so much in this past year being with these guys that has just, you know, helped me be the coach I want to be and just keep growing in my knowledge of the game, knowledge of recruiting, everything like that. So I'm so fortunate to still be here. Just finished my 10th season, so it's kind of crazy how time flies. If you would ask me as a 17-year-old kid if I'd still be in Manhattan, Kansas, doing what I'm doing, I'd probably have called you crazy. So I'm just so excited to still be here and learn from these guys and trying to win football games.
And Drew, right now in your role on the field as an offensive quality control coach, and I guess it's not technically on the field by NCAA rules, but talk to us a little bit about what you do as an offensive quality control coach.
Well, so I get the opportunity to wear many hats, you know, whether it's film breakdown, self-scout creation, analysis, you know, basically combing through all of our cut-ups, making sure everything's accurate and presented correctly, game planning, basically being the go-between between a lot of the companies we use as far as analytics and other self-scout type of situations, being the go-between between our staff and those people. A lot of hours put in behind a computer screen, which isn't always the most fun, but it's a bit necessary. You know, drawing scout cards, helping get those guys squared away, getting our graduate assistants headed in the right direction. I get to do a lot. Very fortunate to be able to do a lot. And I think it just, for anybody that gets the opportunity to have all those roles, take it and run with it, man, because it's a good learning situation for you. And I'm just pretty fortunate in that way.
So, Drew, and going from a guy who was an offensive lineman his whole career and really being focused on that, now in this role as offensive quality control, you mentioned the learning side of this. How has that really opened up the game and the understanding for you of seeing more of the big picture just outside of what's going on in the box?
Yeah, it's amazing because you know, the old saying, you don't know what you don't know. As a player, you think, you know, I consider myself a pretty smart player. Once you get out of your own world, especially being an offensive lineman, you see, wow, there's a lot more to this passing game, you know, just understanding how everything fits together. So I think, and especially kind of the message to guys just getting into it, especially, you know, being from an offensive lineman to trying to learn the whole thing, is just be a sponge. I mean, that's all you can do is be a sponge, ask questions. I know some guys, and I've been there myself, where you're not really sure exactly what somebody might be talking about, you know, in the passing game. Ask those questions. You know, I think it portrays a better sense of humbleness, you might say, and willingness to learn when you want to ask those questions in front of people that you are worried that they might think you're not the smartest guy in the room. So for me, that was a tough deal, is kind of bringing myself back to an area where I'm saying, hey, I'm learning how to walk right now. And so being able to do that, and I think it especially takes a good environment for you to learn in, which I've been fortunate to have here. And so just being able to do that and accept that you don't know everything and you're not going to know everything, and just being willing to learn.
And I think you're uniquely positioned right now in your role, in that you're really, as you mentioned, getting involved in the analytics side of this. And that's something that's just taking off in football. Not only has that grown from the focus on the NFL, we've seen it now into college football. And, you know, as I was going through the AFCA magazine that I picked up there, there was a little flyer that fell out about a company that does analytics for the high school level now, and being able to utilize those to just better understand the game, better make decisions on game day. So in taking on that part of the role, what things have you really been focused on? And I guess, how has it affected the way you think about the game?
Well, so first thing I'll say is Excel and XOs are your two best friends. You can do pretty much anything you want. If you've got access to your own data and you've got access to Excel, you can do a lot. It's going to take a lot of learning. There's a little bit of a learning curve involved, but you can do so much. But we've been fortunate, being at the Power 5 level, to have access to a lot of different outlets. You know, we've used a group out of the Denver area, R2 Sports. They do a great job of basically taking all of your data and presenting it to you in a visual way that helps you understand, hey, these are the good things, right? These are the bad things. These are the things that you're seeing a lot of. These are the things you're not seeing a lot of. You know, you take that and things like Pro Football Focus, and we've used a service for called Coaches by the Numbers that helps you see where you rank amongst people in terms of, a number of different categories. So I think the ability to use all of those things to help paint a picture of what you're doing and what people are doing against you is really important and really helpful. And then, we'll also do the in-game analytics where we've got the book guy that everybody talks about. But I think the important thing is don't be blinded by a lot of what the numbers are spitting out at you. And technology is great and everything, but you can't take it as gospel. I think you still have to have a football brain. I've made the mistake in my young career of, rushing to conclusions just because of what a computer spits back at me on. So I'm thinking, hey, we got to do this. This is really important. How does that compare to what you see on tape, right? You still have to be able to take the two, right? They're not always mutually exclusive, but you have to be able to marry the two and see, okay, this is what this report is telling me, right? We're doing this on first down. Okay, so why were we doing this on first down? Okay, so that's not going to carry over game to game. And so I think it's really important to always more or less take what the computer's telling you, sometimes with a grain of salt, because you've got to go back and you've got to watch the tape and you've got to compare the two to see what is really and truly happening on the field.
Right, and I think what you're talking about there is context, right? The game is always played within context. It's not just these numbers that pop up. So you do have to make sure that you take a look at those things. But it is a great starting point for you to be able to identify some things. So as you are pouring through the data and looking at those things, and, let's say we're in season, what kind of things are you looking for in terms of being able to maybe identify some issues, or even kind of look ahead and identify something that might become an issue?
The big thing for us is tendency, and that's where the group we've used out of the Denver area, R2 Sports, they do a great job of identifying tendencies, right? So it's, hey, on first down, out of this formation, you're so many percent run to the right, or, second down, second and long, when so-and-so is lined up in the slot, you're higher percentage of, running this route concept, stuff like that. So I think that's really important that we see those things. So when we're doing our game planning, we can think, hey, okay, so how can we change this up, right? How can we present this differently? How can we change what we're doing to confuse the defense, to basically catch them off guard, more or less? So I think that's really the biggest thing for us in season, to find those tendencies and to try to break them a little bit, more or less. You're not always going to be able to break your tendencies, right? There's going to be things that you do really well out of certain formations and certain down and distance that you're going to run what you run. But if you can, you know, if it's five plays a game where you break tendency, you know, how many of those are big plays? You know, how many of those become more efficient? You know, and so it's really important to identify those areas. And then out of season, it becomes a little bit more of a slower process. If you say, okay, why were we doing this here? How can we change this up? What do the numbers tell us? All right, now let's go look at all of our cutups and see, all right, how can we change? How can we be better? You know, where were we really good and where were we really bad?
As you're looking at those things, I always believe that it's a blend of both the scheme and the technique you need to look at. And, you know, as coaches, we always invest a lot in coaching those things up. If we're doing it right, you know, it's, you can't just be a flavor of the week and say, oh, we're going to switch to this. I mean, you know, very well known, you guys are going to run power as an example. But as you're looking at maybe a particular concept that you're using from a particular set, how much are you trying to identify, like, you know, we didn't do as well as we thought we would this week here, and then trying to find the reasons? And obviously that goes back to being able to utilize the tape as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think part of that goes back to a little bit of the, you know, the same concept that you always hear is everybody's going to give you something different. They're going to give you something that they haven't shown every week. You know what I mean? And so I think for us, being able to identify, you know, where we were a little bit deficient, especially in terms of the run game, which is a little bit, you know, that's near and dear to my heart, being a former lineman. I think it's really important to understand that going into the game, you know, you may think that, hey, they're going to give us this and this. This is going to be really good. Coming out of the game, you're going to sit there and look at the tape and go, wow, they didn't really give us that. Okay, so where can we be better in terms of in-game adjustments, right? And so I think it's important. I think when it comes to that, it's really important to have banked reps in terms of what you're running. And that, you know, that starts week one of spring ball. That starts week one of fall camp. And having the ability in the game to recognize, okay, they're giving us this. All right, well, we need to be able to go back and we need to run this. We might not have run that since week three against so-and-so, right? But it's week eight, and we've got enough bank reps that, hey, we're going to call this, guys. You know, we're talking about on the sideline, we're going to call this. All right, they should be giving us, you know, if they're going to give us cover two and they're going to give us a pirate technique 3 and 5, this is going to be great. So I think that's really important. And then for us to be able, after the game, to go back and say, all right, we were able to identify that they were giving us this. How did we counter that? And moving forward, okay, how can we see that maybe a little bit sooner if we didn't see it early enough? And what did we do in previous weeks, which is where a little bit of the quality control comes in. What did we do in previous weeks that showed this team that, okay, they're going to run this defense against us? And how do we prevent that, more or less?
I know at the high school level, a lot of high schools now use the instant replay technology, have it on the iPad, whatever. I was able to sit up in the press box end of the season here for a high school team and take a look at that. And honestly, it was like shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, to be able to replay what happened, see it again, rather than just relying on the naked eye to uncover that, was huge. But, you know, when you're looking at the process of in-game adjustment, whether you have that technology or not, everybody has to have an assignment. Then there has to be that time where you're going to be able to kind of pull all that information you have together from that last drive, what everybody's seeing, and make sense of it all. What's that process like for you guys in order to be able to effectively make those in-game adjustments?
And that's a great question. And that, to me, the onus becomes a lot on the player. Okay. Because, you know, we can see so much from the press box, we can see so much from the field, but the guys that are in the thick of it, right, they're seeing it. They're seeing it firsthand. So I think the first thing is it becomes honesty is key. When your guys come off the field, they have to be honest with you, okay? They can't be afraid to say, hey, you know, I screwed up. I missed that block. I busted my assignment, whatever it is. you know, they have to be accurate in the information they give you. Okay, there's a big difference, you know, especially for some of our run game, there's a big difference between a 4-eye and a 3 technique, right? So they have to be honest and they have to be accurate. And if they don't know, you know, they got to tell you, hey, I don't know what happened there, okay? Because we don't want to make adjustments based off false information. And then from the coach's perspective, you know, it's just important. Communication is key. And then especially coming from upstairs to down the field, communication is 100% of most importance. And again, being accurate, you know, a guy upstairs can say, hey, you know, I thought that was cover two, right? Okay. If it's cover two, we're thinking, you know, first down, they're going to give us cover two. We're going to run this. Well, you know, that comes back around. Oh shoot. That was cover four. Well, you know, it's important again, to be accurate in your information that you're relaying. And so I think there becomes a bit of a trust factor, especially, you know, if you've got from graduate assistants to assistant coaches, you know, that you gotta trust one another, that you're given accurate information, because I mean it's crucial on the field.
What does the, I guess, division of labor look like for, you know, your guys are gonna put eyeballs on certain things during any particular play? How do you guys divvy that up?
It's pretty much by position. Obviously, you know, your O-line coach and myself helping with the offensive line as much as I do, you know, we'll be looking at the front and pressure, and then you'll get, you know, quarterback's coach. And if you've got a receiver's GA or a, you know, quarterback GA, they'll be looking at, you know, maybe far side of the field coverage. And then you get your running back's coach and receiver's coach looking at near side of field coverage. It, you know, it really just kind of depends on, you know, number of bodies you guys have. And it's definitely been limited by the NCAA now as far as rules is who can have a headset, who can't, who can talk on the headset. So that's definitely leveled the playing field probably a little bit from your, you know, your upper tier schools all the way down to, you know, lower levels. So it's really just, I think most people will probably do it by position and just kind of handle it that way.
So then we accumulate that data very quickly, and you're getting the information from the players, kind of meshing that with what you get from the coaches. How do you guys go about making that adjustment in game on the sideline?
Yeah, between drives is huge. So it's, again, it's all about the communication from upstairs to down. The whiteboard becomes your friend, especially as, you know, our O-line coach has maybe gone through a couple whiteboards, but, you know, being able to draw up with the pictures that you're seeing and saying, okay, guys, these are the adjustments we're going to make. You know, hey, they're giving us, you know, we're running outside zone and they're giving us a little quick jet TE. Okay, this is how we might change our technique in game. But again, it goes back to that banked reps of, you know, we've worked these techniques versus different stuff. And that's where, and this is getting a little bit off topic, but going into practice, I think it's important in practice to work, you know, in your drill work, to work in-game application. You know, hey, these are different looks we can see. Okay, when we're doing our drill work, not just in our walkthrough settings, but when we're doing our drill work, work that stuff when you're just working your base fundamentals. But going back to, you know, to the in-game, it's, okay, this is what they're giving us. How are we gonna change what we do to attack it? More or less.
Coach, I kind of want to flip gears here and focus on something that you guys are known for. Coach Kleiman and some of the guys he brought over from North Dakota State made a name on the power play. And as with anything, you know, power has been around a long time. It's existed in a lot of systems, but we could say that it's different in a lot of systems too. For you, having played for Coach Snyder and now, you know, working in Coach Kleiman's system, what have you seen, I guess, as some of the differences in your understanding of that particular play?
It's really been pretty cool because I thought I knew what power was. I had no idea, to be honest with you. You know, like you said, it's been a bread and butter play for those guys at North Dakota State, and they've done an awesome job, and an incredible job of implementing it and running it. And I think the biggest thing, you know, you can talk about the difference between A-gap power and B and C-gap power. A-gap power is a mentality play all day long. I mean, you can coach technique until the cows come home, but if you don't have tough physical guys, it's not going to work for you. It's really not going to work for you. And I think, and the neat thing about it is you can run it against a, you know, so many different fronts and so many different coverages behind it. And you're always, the fundamentals of it are going to be the same, no matter what. It's a downhill play. You know, I'd love to get into a little bit of how we teach it, but I, you know, it's maybe a little bit of a lost art, and I kind of want to keep that for us moving forward. But as far as just the mentality of it, you got to have tough dudes. You got to have tough guys that are going to stick their face in there, that are going to move. You know, you're going to have, you got to have old linemen that are going to move that defender out of the A gap. You're going to, you got to have a center that's got the ability to get that, those 6 inches on the backside. And so I think a little bit of that goes into how you recruit your players, particularly on offense. You know, your interior guys, you got to recruit tough, smart guys every day. You can't have dumb guys up there running this play. And so I think for us, you know, and typically Kansas State's been founded on tough guys, Midwest guys that want to run that play. And you look at what they did at North Dakota State. Same kind of player, tough kids that want to do it for the team because it's not flashy, but it works.
So the recruiting part of it, I think, is an interesting topic maybe to talk a little bit about here, because we've gone from a time when seeing an I formation, 2-back, 21 personnel team was common to a time when all we see really is 10 and 11 personnel, running back maybe in a pistol or next to the quarterback, definitely a different point of vision and run track from next to the quarterback. And so I guess as you're looking at players, you know, you mentioned you need the smart, you need the physical guys, but how do you start to project a kid maybe who hasn't played in that system, you know, looking especially at some key positions there like the offensive line, the running back, and I would imagine the hard to find fullback.
Yeah, for sure. And that's where I think it's important to, you know, you talk about the tight end fullback position. You want to find a little bit of if you can find a hybrid type of guy that can do both, I really think that's ideal, because you want to be able to cross train those guys. You know, it's going to give defenses a lot more, a lot more trouble trying to fit stuff if they don't know, hey, okay, we're going 12 personnel. Well, that extra tight end, is he going to be a fullback? You know, is he going to be an inline tight end with his hand on the ground? Or is he going to be flexed out and be able to run, you know, stick route, something like that? So I think that's really important. And that what we're trying to recruit is guys with, you know, I mean, ideally you'd like to get all three. You'd like to get length, you'd like to get size, and you'd like to get the ability to run. But I think it's, like I said, it's pretty important to be able to cross train some of those guys, you know, to really keep defenses, you know, on their toes from a personnel standpoint.
Definitely. It's something we're seeing right now. It's been fun to watch the San Francisco 49ers all year in their run game, and, you know, kind of just unheard of to only throw 8 passes in an NFL game. You look at what they're doing with their running game, and they do have that dynamic long type of tight end and Kittle, and they, you know, have a couple other guys they mix in there, and then you take the fullback and Juszczyk, and it's now where can you put those guys and how are you using them? And they've been very creative in their run game, and it isn't necessarily all kinds of different runs. You do see the same things over and over again, but now what stresses the defense out is when you have those guys who stay on the field, and maybe they are your typical 21 personnel, yet they might line up in the slot, or they might be at a wing, they might motion back into the backfield. It really opens up that ability to dress things up and stress the defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's definitely, you know, within our offense, that's what we want to be able to do. You know, we want to be able to move around. We want to be able to change eyes, because, you know, that's where you get defenses lost a little bit, is when you change their eyes. Let's go from a 2 tight end set to a more of a 21 personnel formation, you know, and I think it's really important that you're able to do that. Especially, you know, within offenses that are so multiple, you know, if you're going to run power, if you're going to run zone read, you're going to run power read, stuff like that. You've got to be able to move and shift and change eyes just to find people, you know, to get them off balance.
So, Coach, a lot of what we're talking about here seems very old school, right? And just thinking of that type of play, that type of personnel. But you guys definitely are on the cutting edge of how you are efficient, both in your game planning, as you mentioned, with some of your analytics, but also in how you practice. Talk to us a little bit about, again, being that guy who's the connection, kind of the liaison to all these companies and all these different technologies, but some of those other technologies you use to be efficient in how you practice.
Yeah, so I think the biggest one for us, and you know, especially for myself and our GAs, has been Go Route. I know it gets a little bit of a stigma as, you know, more or less a high school type tool, of a more of a learning thing, implementing offense, defense. But we use it for scout team, and I think that's originally what its, you know, what its main purpose was, you know, when it was created. It's the best tool out there. And not even for the fact, because we're not a hurry up and go fast offense, you know, so we're not, you know, trying to get a rep every 20 seconds in practice, but just for the fact of, okay, hey, here's all of our cards. Here's our script, you know, play by play. I can send that into the defense, right? They've got the play immediately. So we don't have to huddle up. We don't have to get everybody run in. They can get lined up. They can look at the card, and we can start, and you know, our GAs can start coaching them, can start telling them, hey, you know, you see this, I want you to react this way, because, you know, that's what essentially scout team defense is, teaching those guys how to react, right? You know, that you could get them lined up out there, but they're not going to react the way that you want them to. So I think it's really important that you present that information to them as fast as possible, so they can see that, right? They can see it, and then they can hear, you know, from your coaches, this is the way I want you to play. So, I mean, it's been a fantastic tool for us. I know in the past our defense has used it, you know, because of being in the Big 12, you see a lot of these teams that want to go fast, you know, they want to get lined up and hurry up, essentially play fastball. So that's been good for them from a practice standpoint of, you know, getting reps in. But I think purely for the teaching aspect of it, it's been fantastic for us.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I could say, having done the old school way with drawing up the cards and putting them in a binder, number one, I didn't miss the smell of those Sharpie markers during those card drawing sessions. You just, like, you know, kill that room. So that's not something I missed when we made a move to it. And I was able to use this in the first days of Go Route because I just thought it was a phenomenal tool. But you make a really good point there in the coaching aspect of it. You know, just thinking about the time, and let's, like you said, you're a huddle team, so it's not that you need the defense to line up as you're lining up. It's a great tool for that. So if you are a tempo team that wants to practice tempo, it's phenomenal. Phenomenal for the defense, who needs to get that kind of simulation in practice where, you know, you don't have, you know, the team huddling up to look at a card. They look at it, you know, on their, for coaches who aren't familiar, maybe I should step back there. Go Route is basically, it looks kind of like your iPhone. It's about that size. It is not a fragile item. It's something you could run over with a truck and it would still be okay. But they wear it on a little belt, looks like in a wristband kind of pouch. They're able to look at it, see actually whatever you draw up. I was just at AFCA talking to Mike Rolly over there, and he showed me, you know, you could put cards in it. You could put something drawn by hand or screenshot it off of a whiteboard, as well as any kind of play drawing software, whether that be Visio or Just Play or, you know, Playmaker, whatever you might use, PowerPoint. All those things work in with it, so you don't necessarily have to change your workflow to use this. But exactly what you said, though, your players, let's say it is that defense who is going against your huddle offense, they're not all coming into one place and spending all their time on seeing where they are on the card and then by that time lining up to play. Because there's so many things when you think about it. You want your scout team to use certain techniques, to be coached up in how the other team's doing that. And a lot of that has to come from the coaches. They didn't study this, right? They haven't spent all weekend looking at how does this particular player play a certain technique, what's his leverage, etc. And now you can have your coaches coaching up those things, which is going to make your offense or your defense better on game day, because they're seeing something that is much more realistic than if a guy flies in, looks at a card, and then flies out to go line up.
Exactly. And that's huge. And, you know, and once you've kind of gotten in the groove of that, then you can you know, you can try to start teaching those guys, hey, this is what I want you. I want you guys to go look at this team's defense, right? We get in on Monday. Go watch these guys, okay? Go watch whoever we're playing that week and see how that guy plays. Okay, so once you've learned how that guy plays, now we can teach you, all right, hey, I see it's run coming at me. I'm seeing a kick out. Well, this guy plays it this way. Boom, I'm going to play it that way. And so I think, you know, not only from, you know, just getting you into the game mode, into the opponent prep for that week, from a football standpoint, I think it's huge just for the development of guys too.
Yeah, exactly. It's raising their football IQ. It's giving you the opportunity to develop those guys because it's giving back time in between every single play where they do get those little nuggets of coaching that, you know, as you said earlier, man, you're going to bank reps, right? That kid's going to start to learn something. Maybe you don't play those things, but, you know, all this stuff appears somewhere or other in an offense, in a defense, that now it's just not being robotic and doing something in how the line is drawn. I mean, you could even include notes on there for particular players too that allow them to see exactly what they need to do. So just an incredible tool to make you efficient.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Well, Coach, with all the things you do, and I know right now you are focused on a lot of the analytics, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, watching film, coordinating all this technology, your GAs, et cetera. But as you look at the things you've learned in your time at K-State, you know, what to you really is the thing that gives your team and your players the winning edge?
I really think it's what we're always trying to cultivate it, but it's leadership within the team. You know, you can always, as a coach, you can always hand out, you know, consequence and punishment for whatever, you know, whatever it might be. But the second that starts coming from a peer, I think is when you've really developed good leadership and good culture within your program. And it's always a battle, you know, even if you've got that culture, you've got to fight to keep it. So I think that's really important, especially, you know, at K-State, we've been, you know, over the course of history, we've been that program, but it's always a battle to keep being that program. So I think that's huge. And it's all about the type of player you recruit. You know, you want to recruit guys that are good in the classroom, guys that are good off the field, and then guys that are going to be, you know, they're going to be nasty and physical and play with tenacity on the field. So I think finding the perfect blend of that is really important. And I think is why we've had the success we've had here at K-State over history.
Coach, for our listeners out there who would want to connect with you, whether it's to maybe learn about more about how you use some of this technology or the things you do, what's the best way to do that?
Yes, you find me on Twitter. Shoot me, my email's online, but find me on Twitter. It's just at Coach Little. I'd be more than happy to talk anything, you know, talk football, talk, technology, analytics, anything like that. I'd be more than happy to talk with anybody about any of those topics.
And that's Little. It's spelled LIDDLE if you're looking him up. Coach, I really appreciate you taking the time here. Best of luck to you and the Wildcats in 2020.
Really appreciate it, Keith. Love to talk some more football with you sometime.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.